President Trump announced his pick for the next person to lead the FBI last week, just a day before former director James Comey testified in the Senate. Trump's pick is Atlanta attorney Christopher Wray. And to discuss this choice, we have Kent Alexander, former U.S. attorney for the North District of Georgia. Hi there, Kent.
Hi, how are you?
How well do you know Christopher Wray?
Reasonably well. I hired him when I was U.S. attorney, so I got to know him particularly well then.
Was it a good hire?
Great hire.
So tell me, I mean, there are things that the American public is concerned about with the next FBI director. And one of the things I imagine concerns a lot of people is this idea of a loyalty oath that Trump has reportedly asked not just James Comey for, but has many of his employees he has asked them for, if we are to believe reports, and Trump himself. What do you think Christopher Wray might make of a loyalty oath?
It's one oath he wouldn't take. I think he'd take an oath to the Constitution, he'd take an oath to justice and doing the right thing, but a loyalty oath to any president just isn't the way he works.
What about Christopher Wray's approach to justice and to government in and of itself? How did he see himself as a member of law enforcement?
Well, he's a straight shooter. He's just right down the middle, really bright guy, and the only reason he went into the department at the start was because he likes doing the right thing. So for his money, I can't speak for Chris, but
yeah,
this is why I hired him. I was really struck by how he was driven by public service, he was driven by the Constitution, he was driven by what was the right thing to do. So having somebody like that at the FBI, particularly at a time like this, I think is key. And I was surprised and pleased when I saw the president announced he was going to nominate him.
But did you get any sense while working with Christopher of partisan politics, that any decisions were influenced by the fact that he's a Republican? Do you feel he was ever influenced by that?
No, not at all. In fact, one of the unique things about U.S. attorney's offices generally, but in Atlanta particularly, it's just a nonpartisan office. People come in, and I hired Republicans, I hired Democrats, but the way people approach prosecutions is just by the book. So in that office, I was always struck, and I spent 11 years there, by the lack of politics.
Let's hear James Comey. This is during his testimony before the Senate last week.
The nature of the FBI and the nature of its work requires that it not be the subject of political consideration. You see it in my testimony. I also tried to explain to him why it's in his interest and every president's interest for the FBI to be a part, in a way, because its credibility is important to a president and to the country.
How prepared do you think Christopher Wray would be, you are his boss, in terms of talking truth to power, in terms of being able to stand up for their own job against pressure?
Sure. Well, for starters, I was Chris's boss 20 years ago, and happily he's had a huge amount of experience between then and now.
That is correct.
But having kept up with him and kept up with his career, I think he's extraordinarily well prepared. At the U.S. Attorney's Office, he worked directly with FBI agents day to day, so he knows the down and dirty of how a case is made. At the Justice Department, he worked with Larry Thompson, who was Deputy Attorney General, who brought him up there as his right-hand man, basically. And he oversaw a lot of terrorism investigations. He worked with the FBI a lot. He operated the highest levels of the department. He then went on to head the Criminal Division of the Justice Department, which is basically the person who oversees all of the criminal prosecutions across the country and works directly with the FBI. So he's really been in the mix in Washington in a political setting, and he's also since really excelled as a private practitioner. So he really has it covered at all levels, so as prepared as anybody can be for a position like this.
Even though he's never worked, he's worked with but not for the FBI.
Exactly, much like Jim Comey, Judge Sessions, Bob Mueller, a lot of people who've been directors have been in exactly that position.
I wanted to read you something, a comment that Representative John Conyers made. Conyers, of course, is the ranking Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee, and he's concerned about the choice. He says, quote, "I am deeply concerned the next director is being selected according to the criteria of a president whose campaign and administration are under investigation and who fired the prior FBI director on the basis of his zeal in investigating these matters and refusal to swear loyalty to the president." That sounds like he's saying, I'm concerned about Christopher Wray because he was selected by President Trump. How would you answer that?
Well, that means by definition, whoever the president selects, he's going to be concerned about. So that doesn't really concern me that much. I think it's a good time for people to start focusing less on the nominator and who's controversial in many quarters, and more on the person being nominated. And I liken Chris in many ways to Neil Gorsuch, who's nominated, of course, as Supreme Court Justice. Both extraordinarily qualified people. They might view things politically different than others, but the President of the United States is Donald Trump, and he's a Republican president, and he's charged with nominating people who share similar beliefs. I was pleased with Chris as a nominee, or he's not nominated yet, but
right.
If he is, I'm very pleased that his name surfaced because I know how independent he is, and he's somebody who would be, as I say, serving justice in the Constitution and not a particular person.
That is Kent Alexander. He's former U.S. Attorney for the North District of Georgia. Thank you so much.
A pleasure.
Now with us is John Iannarelli, a retired FBI special agent. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning.
It's good to have you. And by phone, we have Rhonda Cook, a reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. John, how much of the job of FBI director requires prior knowledge? In other words, let me ask you the same question I asked Kent. Are you concerned at all that the presumptive nominee is not somebody who has worked for the FBI?
Well, let me preface it by saying, first of all, I think Chris Wray will do a fine job. Is he the best pick for the job? I don't think so. When you look at prior directors, generally they have the substantive experience. For example, three of our prior FBI directors out of the five FBI directors the FBI has had over the course of time were federal judges. One FBI director had been an agent for a number of years as well. Director Comey was the first person to actually be slightly different and having not been a judge, but yet had the substantial experience that requires an understanding the working knowledge of how the FBI operates, the mission of the FBI, and also very important is understanding the culture of the FBI.
Well, then let me play for you another comment that James Comey made during his Senate testimony.
And although the law required no reason at all to fire an FBI director, the administration then chose to defame me and, more importantly, the FBI by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple.
How did you take those, John, the comments that the FBI is in disarray?
I would totally disagree with the FBI being in disarray. Directors, honestly, just like any other leader in the FBI, they come and they go. What you do have is 36,000 employees, 12,000 of which are FBI special agents who are hired and have taken the oath to the Constitution to do a job. Regardless of who is at the helm, business goes on, and to say that anything was in disarray would be absolutely incorrect.
Rhonda, you started your longer piece on Christopher Wray by describing his connection with Bob Mueller, who's now the special prosecutor, investigating ties between the Trump administration and Russia, and also James Comey. How did Christopher Wray know both of those men?
They worked together. He was in the Justice Department when they had that infamous showdown involving then Attorney General John Ashcroft.
Over wiretapping?
Well, it was over extension of the surveillance that came after 9/11, yes.
And where did Christopher Wray come down in that argument?
From accounts that I've seen, there was a book that was written about Vice President Dick Cheney. What it explained was that he stopped Director Comey, or former Director Comey, in the hallway and said something to the effect, I don't know what's going on, but if you all are going to jump, let me know so I can go with you. So at that time, James Comey and Bob Mueller, had drafted letters of resignation that they were ready to submit over this issue. And Christopher Wray was planning, as were a number of other people in the Department of Justice, planning to resign and protest over how the White House was handling that.
Christopher Wray also has a connection with another person whose name might be familiar, and that is New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Here is Christie praising Christopher Wray's pick.
And the president deserves extraordinary credit for going through a really deliberative process and coming to the conclusion of picking not a politician, but a law enforcement professional who has the respect in both sides of the aisle.
it's hard to hear him there. It sounds like he's in a restaurant or something, but he's saying that Christopher Wray is a law enforcement professional with respect on both sides of the aisle. Rhonda, what is Christopher Wray's connection to Chris Christie?
Well, he was his private attorney. He was Governor Christie's private attorney during the Travelgate saga.
The Bridgegate?
Bridgegate. As of this moment, Chris Wray is, as you know, a litigation partner for the law firm King & Spalding, and they have offices in Washington. And so he represented Governor Christie in that instance.
What do you think, John, are the necessary qualities that a successful FBI director needs?
So, again, I think Chris Wray is going to be fine, and I think he will do an adequate job. But I also think Chris Wray is a safe pick. If you're looking for somebody who's highly aggressive, somebody who understands the culture of the FBI, as well as the culture of law enforcement, which is very different than the culture of being a prosecutor or the practice of law, it's somebody who understands those aspects of what it takes to put together a complex investigation. The FBI, by its nature, are working violations that no other law enforcement agency, literally in the world, addresses. Some of these investigations, the statute of limitations are as long as 7 years because it takes so long to put these cases together, like an Enron-type case. Somebody with that frame of reference is the person who would be best to lead the FBI, but at the same time, you're looking at somebody who will be very aggressive, and perhaps at this time in the political culture, that's not what they're looking for to lead the FBI.
Well, let me try to get at what you're saying here. Does the FBI director, especially in this particular setting, need to have political savvy, do you think?
You know, I think understanding of the politics and being able to maneuver within those politics, but there's a reason the term of the director at the FBI is traditionally for 10 years, and that is so that you do not have to answer to one president over another. Director Louis Freeh was selected by Bill Clinton, yet clearly then became the nemesis to the Clintons to a certain degree later on. And that is because you may have selected me as director, but my job is to enforce the law regardless of politics. I think a director at the FBI has to understand certainly dealing with politics is going to be difficult, but you must rise above politics and do what is in the best interest of the country, regardless of what any politician, specifically any president, may wish for you to do.
Rhonda, how strong are Christopher Wray's connections to Georgia?
His wife is from here. She's several generations have been here. They, at one point, I think it was her great-grandfather, was an owner of the Atlanta Constitution. I understand that the road Howell Mill was named for her family. So he came here from, I believe, New York State, but his tie to Georgia is his wife, that he's been here for a few decades, so it's pretty solid.
And so, John, let me go back to this idea of what is required of an FBI director. And this came up a number of times during the testimony when people were asking if the removal of James Comey would then have an impact on the investigation. How do we know what effect removing that director could have or might have?
If anybody's intention was to remove a director for the purpose of impacting an investigation, they wasted their time. I will tell you, the FBI carries on. The agents working cases are going to do what they're supposed to do, and they may receive direction by people to say, for example, close the case. If that was a direction that was inappropriate because there is a viable crime that has been committed and needs to be presented, that would be protested. It would not go over easily. I will tell you, in my 21 years with the FBI, I never saw an instance of where politics got in the way of pursuing cases. Now, the FBI, of course, doesn't indict. We investigate. We find the facts. I like to think of ourselves as scientists. We come back with the information. We present it to a grand jury. We present it to the United States Attorney's Office or the Department of Justice. What they decide to do with it is out of our control. But nevertheless, it is not going to slow down any investigation that may be going on involving the Russians or anything else because James Comey was asked to leave.
So then, Rhonda, what kind of high-profile investigations has Christopher Wray been connected to that might give us a clue to his law enforcement credentials?
Well, he was involved in the Enron investigation. He also played key roles in the anti-terrorism cases that came right after 9/11. So those are at least two situations he's been involved in.
And John, you say that you're okay with the choice of Christopher Wray, but it's possible someone else might have been better. Are you saying you would have preferred a judge?
Not necessarily a judge, but I've looked at some of the candidates who are out there. Jana Monroe, for example, former assistant director of the FBI. She started the FBI's cyber division, one of the leading females in the FBI. 30 years in law enforcement, 10 including on the local level as a homicide detective, 20 in the FBI to the highest ranks. John Pistol, who spent 25 years with the FBI, then went on to TSA. Mike Mason, our first African-American executive director at the FBI. There were a number of people that have extensive law enforcement and private sector experience, just like Mr. Wray, that were briefly considered. But these are all very strong individuals when it comes to making decisions to lead investigations. Probably not the most politically correct persons. Perhaps that's why they were not seriously considered.
That is retired FBI Special Agent John Iannarelli and AJC reporter Rhonda Cook. John and Rhonda, thank you both so much.
Thanks for having me.